Open up your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So, you know, I was after a talk idea and I've gone for the fully lame Happy New Year. So, Happy New Year. I can sit down now. Why Happy New Year? Well, because whether, you know, rightly or wrongly, this is a time when people do reflect on how poorly they've performed over the last 12 months. How they, you know, in fact, a lot of people reflect about the 10th of January when they've set resolutions and they've failed at them already. Hopefully we'll do a little bit better. 1 Chronicles 16. And it turns out if you want to reflect upon things, you go to the Old Testament. It's a deep pool of reflection. Okay, so verse 11, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually, remember his marvellous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So if you're looking for a good reason to reflect, this is it. Instruction here that we should look back not upon our own achievements, unless we're looking about our own achievements for God, with God, you know, by God. We're looking at our spiritual experience because, as we know, what we do in the flesh, really not that important to anybody except maybe ourselves and our next-door neighbour because, well, you want to be better than your next-door neighbour. That's important, especially if their name is Mr. Jones because you want to keep up with the Joneses. The jokes didn't get any better over the Christmas holidays. I looked back really over the camp process and the nature of the talks was, you know, we were looking at signs and wonders. And it is great, I find, to reflect on, you know, things that you've seen happen in your walk in the Lord. And it could have been, you know, your conversion experience. It could have been, you know, your best friend getting healed or something. It could have been a provision. It could have been anything you like. But to look back and consider what the Lord's done and how can we perhaps take that forward. The other thing that I've particularly, I guess, seen as a bit of a theme in my understanding of the scriptures is the importance of letting go. So, you know, if we're going to look back at what's happened during the year, we often don't just look back at the positive things, we look back at, you know, miserable things that have happened in our lives and, you know, how dare the Lord not heal me in 12 milliseconds and, you know, I asked for a provision of, you know, $10 million and I didn't get it. You know, we should let go of some of that stuff. In fact, we should let go of all of that stuff. So, you know, we should look at what is the burden that we're carrying. And I guess to use, there's a movie, the reasonably recent movie with George Clooney called Up in the Air. And he gives this analogy of carrying everything that you own, all of your problems in a backpack. So, you know, all of the people that are giving you a hard time, all of the jobs you've got to do around the house, all of the troubles you're having at work, pack them all into a backpack and feel the weight, you know, of this burden that you're carrying around. Well, in our case, we've got God wants to take the backpack off our shoulders and set us aside and let us spring forth with a bounce in our step. But we oftentimes want to hold on to this backpack as hard as we can and carry our burden around. We, you know, you see at Easter, certain places in the world like to celebrate the Easter experience, the crucifixion experience, by carrying their cross around with a little wheel on the bottom so it's, you know, difficult but not too difficult. And the cross might look heavy but isn't so heavy. It might be made out of 100% balsa wood or plastic or fiberglass or something. But in often cases, they have these real heavy-duty constructions and they want to go through the physicality of what Jesus went through when the message is that he wanted to take all that away. So, you know, he was risen. He wasn't burdened. So that's what we should consider at this time. You know, we want to cast our burdens away. Let's have a look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Okay, quite well-known scriptures here. We'll just run through the first few verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace. We seem to have that today. There's a lot of embracing, I noticed, of new members of the fellowship. Certain other members of the fellowship are ducking and weaving the embracing. A time to refrain from embracing. There it is. Look at that. And verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So it turns out, literally, all of these things are happening in our lives pretty much every day. You can certainly look around and find times of war, times of peace. But in particular, verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. This is the time, brothers and sisters, to cast away, to put off those burdens, just to get rid of them. Okay? When God came to relieve you of your sins, it was the express understanding that you let go of these things, that you didn't go and collect a whole bunch of new sins and hang on to them, okay? So if we're going to do nothing else, let's mark this time of remembrance as a time where we can let go of things. Don't make promises you can't keep. Just try and get rid of things that you don't need to hang on to. And all the people said. Now, I'm not pretending this is easy, because all of us have things that happen in our lives that can be, you know, fractious. They can really be burdensome to us. They can weigh us down. But it's that very weight that we've got to get rid of, because none of that helps us with our spiritual experience. If we think, again, we're trying to lift off to meet the Lord in the air, anything that we hang on to, any baggage, any weight, any, you know, bags of sand, are going to stop us from doing that. Anything like that is not good for our spiritual growth. We want to grow. We don't want to shrink. Okay, so let's have a think then. How many, if anybody, sets goals for the next 12 months? Anybody? Jody does? Okay. And I'm not just, you know, it certainly people set goals for, you know, they might want to do better at their work, they might want to paint the house, they might want to, I don't know, build a patio or build several patios or buy 5 more cars and put a multi-story car park in their house. But what are your spiritual goals? Have you ever actually sat down, you know, whether it's after camp or something like that, and considered, what is it I want to do with my spiritual life going forward the next little, well, season, as it talks about here in Ecclesiastes? So that could be 12 months, it could be 3 months, it could be, you know, a week. Maybe you can't make it through a week. So your goal is you want to get to the Wednesday meeting. Hopefully that's your goal. You know, your goal could be you want to be at the Sunday second meeting. Obviously, you guys are good at that goal, but there's other people whose goal that may want to be, that, you know, literally, that's what you want to do. You might have trouble holding it together for the second meeting. You might find that, you know, 15 seconds before the choruses start at the second meeting is as long as you can hang on, and you've got to go. Well, pray to the Lord that you can hang on for another hour, and perhaps, you know, you can make it through. And there could be something in the talk, there could be something in the choruses, there could be something in the testimonies that you never get because you weren't here. And I find that to be true. I'm, you know, even for people that give their testimony often, we know that there's things that slip out that we've never heard before. And how great is that when you think you've got someone's testimony nailed flat and you're like, whoa, hang on, where did that come from? You know, I've heard your testimony 212 times, and then suddenly you just let this gem slip out of something. So it's great. You know, you can pick up on these little things. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Okay, Isaiah 43 verse 18. Okay, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay, so here's some encouragement that let's look forward to the promises. Let's not look back at the problems. Promises, problems. It should be a pretty easy decision to make, and yet problems are where we like to hang out. We can really, you know, we can stew on a good quality problem, but, you know, a promise apparently seems too difficult to contemplate. You know, how often do we think about the bad versus, you know, think about the reward that God's got laid up in heaven for us? Well, we tend not to think about that because we can't actually get our head around it. It's going to be this thing that we can't explain, this thing that we can't understand. We can't even figure out how we're going to leave this earth and, you know, go and meet the Lord in the air. But what we can do is really focus heavily on, you know, that girl at the checkout, she ripped me off by 25 cents on this chocolate bar that was on special and she didn't give me the special and I'm not going back to that shop because she works there and I'm just... That's who we are, people. That is who we are, you know. How can you transition from being at camp to being a, you know, a spiritual mung bean to going to the shops at Busselton and just having a beef with the person that stole your car park? You know, it's just crazy how quickly we can transition back to the bad things. But the scriptures want us to look forward to making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If we go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16, every prudent man or woman deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Or as it says in another version, a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't, and even brags about it. So how often do we know people who are just, you know, talking at length about things they don't really understand? You see it all the time. People want to appear that they're clever. They want to, you know, blog or Facebook about it or something like that. They want to have people look up to them, but oftentimes they don't really know what they're talking about. So a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't. In Proverbs 27 and verse 23, it says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." So, you know, do some agricultural management. Get your life in order. You know, make sure that you're starting off with what you left off with last year and move forward. Okay, so in terms of goals, you know, I set a bunch of goals of things I wanted to do for the church, but they're technical things, they're not spiritual things. You know, I wanted to do some more with the music, I want to do some more with the broadcast and the website and things like that. But really, you go to camp, Pastor Kevin wants you to do praying in the morning, he wants you to do reading the Bible, and actually you can't go past that as goals because, you know, we know that we tail off on these things, that life gets in the way of our spiritual life, and these things tend to be pushed to the side. So, you know, focusing on these really simple things is a great idea. So if you're going to set a goal, you know, make sure that your goal is to come to the meetings, make sure your goal is to read your Bible, at least stumble across it by accident at home. Maybe you put it on the floor so you can trip over it. You know, and praying, you know, getting out and outreaching and just really fundamental things that, you know, Pastor Phil was talking about baptism. It's those things that energise us. You know, when you're down on the beach, and I wasn't down on the beach, but, you know, I've heard people that I trust, like Diana, talking about being down on the beach. You know, that's exciting. When people are looking at what's going on, that's exciting. You know, and the excitement of someone being filled with the Spirit is a spiritual excitement for you because it reminds you of our fundamental reason for being here. And that's what we want to do. Another thing that I've put down that I think that we should always be reminded of is we should have as one of our goals, and this is part of the letting go process, trust in the Lord. Yeah, trust in the Lord. So Lamentations chapter 3. Okay, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Okay, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Okay, so verse 22 is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. This is it, folks. This is how we make it through the day. It's that the Lord is gracious to us. He's gracious to us through the death of Jesus. He's gracious to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's gracious to us because he hears our cries. He's gracious to us because he teaches us through his word. And all the people said, you know, he just wants to pour out these mercies upon us. You know, he wants to be compassionate to us. He says in verse 23, every morning is a chance to start again. It's new every morning. How faithful is that? It doesn't matter what we do, he's there to pick us up in the morning and get us on the way doing his thing. That's fantastic. It's this compassion is what it says here, that he just wants us to have all the good things. If we go to James chapter 1 and verse 17, James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Okay, so good things come from God. Philippians chapter 4. Okay, this is really the key to trusting in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Put it to God, walk away. Okay, that is what trust is. Trust is not put it to God, walk away and start scheming on a way to solve your problem. Okay, it's literally... This is why we tend to do so much better on impossible things, because you know we need something from God. We need a miracle, we need a sign, we need a wonder. These are not things that we can manifest ourselves. So all you've got is trust in the Lord. All you've got is testimonies of things that God has done in your life or in other people's lives. You can take hold of that. But the simpler things, you feel like, okay, look, I don't want to bother you, God. Really, I'll have a crack at this myself. And then eventually we go through this circle where we've got to come back and trust in God because all of our efforts were fruitless. But because we like to think that we're achievers, that we can do things, we can't help but go through the circle. You know, we can't just be still and know that He is God. Okay, another goal which comes from trusting in the Lord is finding contentment. Okay? Just... Being at peace with what you have, with what God's given you, with the season that you happen to be in, whether it's, you know, you're waiting for a healing, or, you know, you're waiting for a job, or you've got a job and you're in the peak of fitness, you know, just being content with where you are, but understanding that God is the answer to all your problems. So if we go down to verse 11 in Philippians chapter 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and all the people said. Okay, do we really believe that we can do all things? Not in our own strength, but through Christ which strengthens us. Okay, He gives us the way to do things, so we've got to trust that is true. We've got to be content with what we have, but understand that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay, in Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay, so that's the trick. Just submit to God. Just trust that God knows what it is that we need. He's the one that laid down the path that we need to follow. So are we smart enough to find the path, to stay on the path, you know, so that we can meet Him in the air? Are we literally able to find the yellow brick road and keep walking along it? Or do we want to go, you know, as we hear often, off to the left into the bushes, or off to the right, you know, and hit a brick wall? You know, we've just got to follow one step after another towards the Lord's return. And I guess the final goal that I've put down here is, did we learn anything from camp? So who was at camp? Hands up. Okay, so you know, even if you're a visitor, you know, there were talks that were had while you were there, I'm reasonably confident. There was fellowship to be had. Did we learn anything from camp? Often we do learn excellent things from camp, and we've forgotten them by the time we get back to Bunbury. You know, so, you know, just a little plug here. The talks from camp are on the fellowship website. So if you did want to go back and have a listen to anything that was at camp, if you weren't at camp, the talks are up there. The thing that, and Diana touched on this, it was towards the end of camp. Pastor Mike Swanson gave a talk that I thought was really interesting, in the sense that he was talking about how in both, you know, the New Testament and now, how many people, and the answer is not many, if any, how many people come along because of the enticing words of man's wisdom? How many people come along because you know the scriptures so well that, like a lawyer in a court case, you can convince them that they're wrong in everything that they believe, and that they have to set that aside and come along and be saved. Okay, now I actually was one of those people. Someone pointed out to me that the Bible said there was an experience, and I went and had that experience, and it was true, and I changed completely. But I, from listening to people's testimonies, was one of the few people to do that. You know, because I went there to use logic to twist these people out of their experience, and they used logic to twist me out of my experience. So, yeah, that was my thing. But Pastor Mike was saying that in the scriptures, you know, you couldn't talk to the Gentiles about the history of the Old Testament and about the time in the wilderness and the law because they had no idea about that. But you could show them signs and wonders, and they could be shocked by that, because whether they believed in God or didn't believe in God, they knew what their natural circumstances were able to do. And so it is in our life, that somebody healed of cancer, you know, somebody given provision, somebody who's had some, you know, life-altering miracle in their life, because it was a life-altering miracle, that opens up their eyes, that opens up their ears, because they know they can't explain this thing. They know that with their own eyes they've seen this thing. And so it's the signs and the wonders that God does that are actually important. And it's essential, whether it's baptism down at the Busselton Jetty, or whether it's, you know, being bold enough to pray for people that you're out talking to and expecting God to do a mighty thing. That's what moves these people. It's what changes their direction from heading that way to heading God's way. And so, did we learn anything from camp? Yes, that really it's the simple things. It's the simple things, brothers and sisters, that keep us saved, because the simple things lead to trusting in the Lord. They lead us to being content with our experience, no matter what our situation. And that's what you get from camp, because there's not a lot of, you know, high tech going on there. You know, although coffee machines are pretty high tech. You go down to Blake's for coffee, that's a masterpiece. There's no doubt about it. You know, I thought I'd hit the coffee jackpot with a pod machine, but no, I'm just a beginner. So did we learn anything from camp? Yes, go to Blake's for coffee. Listen to the talks, because, you know, you're just saturated in the Word of God, and you've got to take that with you. Don't lose it on the way back to Bunbury. You know, try and set ourselves some spiritual goals. You know, if you achieve them, great. If you don't achieve them, okay, cast it aside, try and do better. You know, because the Lord's faithful every morning to us. So if we failed yesterday, he's there to pick us up and push us in the right direction. Amen.